Morning. So, yes, if you ever had to give some bad news, but you didn't want to come up against the shields and the walls, this is a good passage to learn how to do that. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb that he'd bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now, a traveller came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveller who'd come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the man who'd come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, 'As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity.' Then Nathan said to David, 'You are that man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says: out of your own household, I'm going to bring calamity on you before your very eyes. I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel.' Then David said to Nathan, 'I have sinned against the Lord.' Nathan replied, 'The Lord's taken away your sin. You're not going to die. But because by doing this, you've shown utter contempt for the Lord, the son born to you will die.'"
Thanks, Pete. It's a hard passage, and Graham's going to take a little look. So let's just pray. Father, we just thank you that your word is never irrelevant. It touches every part of us. And we just pray for Graham as he brings the truth out of this situation. We pray for him that you would fill him with your words, fill him with your spirit. And Lord, let our hearts be receptive to all that you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Isabel. And good morning. It is good to be here to share with everybody, to reflect on God's word together. As Isabel said at the beginning, it's good to see people who've been here for many years. It's good to have new people with us this morning. Good to have Joe back with us from wherever his travels have taken him. Amsterdam, South Africa. Is that about right? Excellent. Great to have you with us again this morning. Good to catch up with him later. Please also remember Gladys. She's not well. She's got an infection. So she needs our prayers at this time. Lots of people to catch up with and be aware of. But this morning, we are continuing to think about prophecy and the prophetic. And there's this story that Pete's just read to us. And we're going to spend some time thinking about that. But before we do that, I just wanted to remind everybody of some time we spent together in September and October 2022. So this is going back a bit. And if you weren't here with us at the time, what we did was we set aside 4 Monday evenings to come together to engage with the question, what is God saying to us? And we met together, and we prayed together, we listened to God together, we shared what we believe God, what God was saying, and we prayed over it. And in many ways, it was a preparation for this series, the series we just started, to remind ourselves that God is continuing to speak to us, his people. Some of the things shared during that month that really spoke to me were, God is a God of compassion and has compassion towards people in the town. God wants to lavish his love on the people of Crewe. We need to talk about this town as God would talk about it, to see it and its people through God's eyes. Showing compassion for people can involve being curious about what's going on in their lives, being present with them, and helping people to reimagine what is possible when God is involved. We need to be going out where people are and being compassionate there. We need to move away from just doing things to people and towards journeying with them to carry God's blessing and presence with us. And when we refer to doing things to people, we mean arranging events to which we can invite people, where we provide things for them. And those are important and have their place. But we also believe it's vitally important that we seek to develop real relationships with people outside of our church setting, where we can bring God's presence into those situations. So some things that we felt God was saying to us 15, 16 months ago. And one of the things that flowed from that was the setting up of new life groups and the encouragement to life groups, new and existing ones, not just to be inward looking and to seek to build each other up in our understanding of and our walk with Jesus, but also focus on how we can be a blessing to those who are not currently part of any church family. And it's encouraged us also over the last few months to think about how each of us can live our lives as fully committed followers of Jesus in the things that we spend our time doing during the week. We're continuing to explore and encourage these things. There is more work to be done. And it was good to pray into some of this stuff earlier this month. But a great example of God speaking and us as his people seeking to respond. Let's continue to listen to what he's saying. Let's be obedient to it. But back to our story, as we think about this idea of prophecy and the prophetic, and we're going to think about what is often referred to as speaking truth to power. And the idea behind this is that someone recognizes that someone else in authority is doing something wrong. But as well as recognizing that, they're prepared to speak out against it. It can be difficult. It can be challenging. It can be dangerous. I remember a number of occasions when I was working in the IT industry, and I saw senior managers adopting policies that I was convinced were totally wrong. Sometimes they were unethical. Sometimes they were not taking into account the needs of employees. Sometimes they were just mistaken. And I had to choose whether to do anything about it, whether to speak out and point out what was wrong and potentially impact my career prospects and even my job, or to stay quiet and not rock the boat. Sometimes I did one, and sometimes I did the other. I'm just reminded of a time sitting at a desk in London,
And I'd seen an email that my then manager had sent out to seemingly every important person in our company across Europe. And there was just so much wrong in what he'd written. It was not illegal, it was just mistaken. And it gave entirely the wrong impression of what we as an organization should be doing. And I thought, I can't let this go. I need to respond to it. And so I thought carefully and wrote something. It was basically saying, I know this is what he said, but this is what he was meaning. This is what he was trying to communicate. And I thought, what's going to happen with that? And you don't know. You send this out and you don't know what's going to happen. And a bit later on, my manager came up and sat next to me and said, thank you for saving my skin on that one. So it works, but it doesn't always. And the question is, how are we going to engage? And there's lots of things that different people are doing in our society around this. People organise online petitions to gain support for a particular cause. People in a constituency can, under certain conditions, cause their local MP to stand down if they think there is something wrong there. Whistleblowers speak out against things they see wrong in the companies they work for. People post on social media against things they don't like, sometimes just because they want to rant, and sometimes they have a desire to see things change. And of course, one of the most recent high-profile examples of this is the TV documentary about the post office scandal. And sometimes we just think it's too difficult. Sometimes it could have too much of a negative impact on us, and we choose to stay quiet. It happens in so many ways in society. But the slightly narrower question for us this morning is how it relates to prophets and the prophetic. And we're going to try and address that by looking at this story of Nathan and David. Some of us may not be familiar with the story behind the story, so I'm going to summarize it briefly. After many difficult and challenging years, David had become king of God's people, the second king in the life of this young nation, Israel. He was well established and popular. His armies were victorious. His reputation with neighboring nations was high. Things were going well, and his authority was absolute and unquestioned. One evening, after waking from sleep, he was walking on the roof of his palace and saw a woman named Bathsheba bathing. He saw that she was beautiful. He wanted her. He called for her. He slept with her. And later they found out that she was pregnant. A story of a powerful man simply taking what he wanted. A story that sadly we have seen repeated time and time again over the centuries. And something that we know still continues today. But in this case, there was going to be very visible consequences. And it was going to be difficult to cover up what had happened. But that did not stop David from trying. Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, was away on the battlefield fighting David's battles. So David called for him. He spent time with him, hoping that he'd go home and sleep with his wife so that everyone, apart from David and Bathsheba, would assume that he was the father of the child. He refused to do this, saying it would not be appropriate to go home to his family while his fellow soldiers were still on the battlefield. So David's next wheeze was to go further. He sent Uriah back to the front line with a message for his commanding officer to ensure Uriah was sent to where the fighting was fiercest and would be killed. Terrible lengths he was prepared to go to cover up what he had done. Well, that's what happened. Back in Jerusalem, Bathsheba mourned her husband's death, and then after a decent interval, whatever that is in this context, David takes her into his household, he marries her, and their son is born. Some people would have known. Some of the courtiers would have been involved in bringing Bathsheba to David in the first place. But because of David's power and authority, it looked as though everything had been covered over and scandal had been averted. It's a sad and distressing episode in the life of someone who was loved by God, someone who had committed himself to God, someone who had a deep desire to be obedient to God. he slipped up. And it didn't end there. The last words of the previous chapter being, the thing David had done displeased the Lord. David could try and cover it up as much as he could, but God was aware, and God was not pleased. And so Nathan enters the story, sent by God to speak to David, to challenge him over what he had done. We don't know all that much about Nathan. He appears a few times in the story, but we get the idea he was someone David relied on for advice, someone who was instrumental in guiding this young kingdom, someone who was respected. And on this occasion, his role is to speak truth to power, to challenge this king who has total authority over his kingdom. A difficult and dangerous task to be given. But Nathan goes about it in this clever and engaging way. He tells David a story. And I wonder if Nathan specifically told a story that involves cattle and particularly sheep to draw David into it, as it reminded him of his young life as a shepherd. He may well have seen what Nathan described in the story happen in real life, and he now realized that he was in a position to do something about it. He listens, he understands, he gets angry against the injustice that is being carried out. He proclaims judgment on the person who has committed the crime. All Nathan has had to do is tell a story, as though he was recounting an actual event and seeking for justice. And David then condemns himself by his own words. And with the principle of injustice established, Nathan turns away from a story and makes it clear to David that he is the offender. David moves beyond story and directly speaks God's word of challenge and judgment to David. And as Nathan was speaking, he could not know how David would respond. David had already had one person killed to cover up his crime. What was he going to do now? But Nathan's words get through to David. He's convicted by them. He recognizes and confesses his sin, which enables Nathan to speak words of forgiveness over him, while making it clear that there would still be consequences in that David's newborn son would die. Those words that Pete read to finish this passage. Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan speak words of absolution. The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. But also words of ongoing judgment. Because by doing this, you have sown utter contempt for the Lord. The son born to you will die. And if we'd read further in the story, we'd have found that David was distraught to hear of the consequences of his actions. He spends time fasting and praying, asking that God would spare his son. But 7 days later, child dies. A terrible, terrible story that we may have lots of questions about. But it reminds us that even when we have received forgiveness from God, the consequences of our sin can continue to be felt. But our focus this morning is Nathan. And what insight this gives us about the role of the prophet in speaking truth to power. And this may be something that any one of us could be called to do in many different situations. And we'll think about what some of those situations might be shortly. But as we look at this story, I want to draw your attention to four things. One thing we find in the first verse, that Nathan was sent by the Lord. The second thing is that Nathan spoke to the person involved directly. He didn't spend a lot of time talking about this person to somebody else. He spoke to the person involved. He drew David in with a story, and he gave David opportunity to respond. And I think this aspect of being sent by the Lord is really important. And it goes back to the need for us to be spending time with God, for us to be listening to what God is saying to us, for seeking to hear what God wants us to do. I remember another time back in my IT days when I saw something going on that I knew was wrong and that I was getting drawn into. It wasn't illegal, it wasn't unethical, but I was just concerned that it was a bad piece of business that would cause us problems in the future. But I was asked, told to get involved by senior people in the customer organization we were working with, by senior people in our organization, and I went along with it. It was a wrong thing to have done. It did cause a lot of upset. It resulted in a lack of trust between us and some of the key people in the organization that we were working with. And I remember feeling really bad about it and feeling that I should have objected more strongly at the time, particularly as I got involved and happened to clear up all the mess afterwards. But if I had, it would still probably have just been my own view that was causing me to do so. I had no sense in that instance that I was being sent by God to speak truth into that situation. And we need to be honest with ourselves and seek to know whether what we feel, what we're inclined to do, is actually something from God or something we are making up for ourselves. It's not to say that if there's something that's really bothering us, we shouldn't do something about it, but we need to be clear when we're acting for God and when we're not. And this may be where it can be helpful to talk things over with someone you trust, maybe someone more experienced in hearing from God, and share what you believe God is saying and pray and reflect on it together. But if at the end of that process you are convinced that God is saying, sending you to speak, it is important that we are prepared to do so, even if we are nervous, even if we are unsure of how it will be received. And then this important idea of speaking to the actual person involved. Nathan could have gathered a group of people around him. He could have complained to them about what David had done and tried to stir up a sense of protest, a mini rebellion against him. Maybe he would have felt safer going to the king if he had a group of people with him. But he didn't do that. He went and spoke directly to the person involved. And this is healthy and right. The other approach is, can get too close to gossip as opposed to really trying to address something that is wrong. Now, yes, there is a difference between getting a group of people around us to gossip and seeking guidance from those we trust as to whether God is actually speaking to us. Getting guidance is okay, but just spending a lot of time talking about someone as opposed to talking to them is not what we're supposed to do when we're engaged in this process of speaking truth to power, or in general. And then the way Nathan did it, I think, was interesting. He didn't storm into David's court and just tell him in front of everybody else how he had sinned. He tells him a story that gets David's attention, that then Nathan was able to use to make the point he had been sent to get across. And I'm not suggesting that we always need to think of a story, but we do need to use our intelligence. We do need to seek God's guidance on the best way to communicate the message that God has sent us to speak. And that may be different for each of us. It may be different on different occasions. Is it simply coming out with it directly? Is it using some form of story like Nathan did? Is it engaging in a guided conversation with someone, taking them on a journey? Is it something we do at one go, or do we build things up over several sessions? And the answer may well depend on the relationship we have with the person, the opportunities we have to meet and speak with them, or what we think they will best respond to. It may be helpful to look back over times in your life when you have tried to do something like this How did you go about it? How did it work? Was there some other approach that would have worked better? And the last thing I want to draw from this story is that Nathan tells his story. David recognized the sin of the person in the story. Nathan pointed out to David that the story was about him and that it was David who had sinned. And then he stops and gives David time to respond. Nathan pointed out David's error. He showed it was displeasing to God. He told David what judgment God was going to bring, but he did not tell David what he should do in response. And we might like to sometimes. But I think what this story tells us is that our responsibility is not how someone or some organization responds to what is said. Our responsibility is to be obedient to what God is sending us to do. Their response is up to them, as God, through his Spirit, takes what we have spoken and works in their lives. Our job is not to change people. Our job is to point people to Jesus and to speak God's truth into and over their lives when God sends us to do so. So where and how might we be called on to do this? It might be in a family situation where you're aware of something going on being done by those who have power in the family that you know is wrong. And you hear God telling you to speak into that. It might be in a work situation where you see things happening that you know are wrong, and again you hear God telling you to speak into that. And while you recognize that this could be difficult to do and might not help career prospects, you'll still be prepared to be obedient to God's prompting on your life. I remember a lady in a previous church coming up and speaking to me one Sunday morning. She was so excited about what she had done that she'd seen this situation in her work situation, and she knew it was wrong. And in fear and trembling, she went into her manager and told this manager that this was not okay and that that had resulted in really positive change. And she was just so excited about what had happened as she had stepped out in faith to what God was saying to her. It might have been response to injustice you see going on in the world and that you believe God is calling you to bring his truth into that context. Some people write to their MPs. Some contact organisations they think are getting things wrong. I once got in touch with the BBC and challenged them for something that was said on a radio programme. I don't know if they took any notice, but that's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to speak out truth. Some people write books. Some raise legal challenges against injustices. What might it be for you as you see things that you know are wrong? It might be where you see those in authority in the church being out of step with God, and you feel a responsibility to speak into that. We are becoming aware of too many situations in churches and Christian organizations where these things have not been challenged with terrible consequences. Last year, when we were thinking about building a healthy culture, we recognize that those in church leadership, such as me, yes, we're to be nurtured and cared for as we seek to nurture and care for people in the church, but that it is also important that we are challenged if we are doing things that are wrong or unhealthy. Many different ways in which this can be worked out. There's no set formula, but the question and challenge for each of us is whether we are open to understanding what is going on around us. Are we aware of injustice and things that are wrong? Are we sensitive to what God is calling us to? Are we willing to be obedient to him, sending us to speak his truth into power so that wrongs can be put right and so that his kingdom can advance in our world? Jesus, as he stepped into our world, was recognized and celebrated as the light of the world. the one who came to dispel darkness, the one who came to point out sin and suffering and what was wrong and what was against God. He came to deal with the deep problem of sin, as we've been reminded as we shared communion together. That led him to a cross. He came to draw people into God's light. And in turn, he calls on us to be his lights in the world. He says to his followers, "You are the light of the world." And we shine his light into darkness in many, many different ways. And one of the ways in which we do that is by speaking truth into power as a way of seeking for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's authority is greater than any human authority. Last week we saw that Elisha was able to demonstrate to his servant that God's power was greater than the power of the opposing forces who came against them. Our story today reminds us that God's authority was greater than the authority of the king. Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me." And so when we go and speak God's word, God's message of truth into darkness, when we're sent by God to do that, we do that in the power of Jesus, that power that is above every other power and authority. And from that place, sometimes God's prophets, God's people, are called to proclaim what God says into this world. I was thinking earlier about what it would mean if, over the next year, God encouraged half of the people here to speak his truth into situations that we know are wrong. What would it mean? What might it change? What might it impact? How would it contribute to God's kingdom coming, to God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven? This is our privilege. This is our opportunity to speak God's truth into the world that we recognize has gone wrong, that we recognize is falling apart. And there are many things we can do. And one of them is being responsive to God's call on our life and speaking out and bringing God's truth into those situations. Let's encourage each other in that. And let's expect to see God doing amazing things as we do so. We're going to pray, and then Heather and the group are going to lead us in one last song.